We're in week 5 of our series, Happy, based on the teaching of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5. Let's do a very brief recap because it's important to understand where we've been so far to tie this together with today. So we've discussed the process so far of an individual being completely lost, living a life without Christ to becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. The first step is to become poor in spirit or confessing our sin to God. When this happens, we become adopted as a child into the family of God. Even though God accepts us as his child, despite all of our baggage, he does not want us to stay in that spot. He does not want us to stay in our sinful state. He doesn't want us to keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. So we then move into the second step, which is the mourning of our sin. When we mourn our sin, Jesus tells us that we will be comforted. We talked about the Holy Spirit being our comforter. When we invite the Holy Spirit in by mourning our sin, we give him permission to start cleaning up those areas in our life that we've been struggling with. This is where the true life change begins to happen in the life of a believer. This is the stage that other people will begin to see the outward evidence of the inward transformation that's happening within you. As this life change begins to happen, we'll move into the third stage and we'll begin to develop meekness, which is controlled strength. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn to control our anger and rage. We learn to respond to people that mistreat us with love. When we learn to do this, we become useful to the master and we become a servant. Now, the third step, we talked about this last week, is where a lot of believers get stuck. We get to the point where we no longer do the things that we used to do. We're now faithful to the house of God. We serve regularly. We give regularly, and all that is good. But if we're not careful, we can begin to become self-righteous. If we become self-righteous, we become stuck. Self-righteousness is when we say, look at me now. I don't cuss anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't chew tobacco anymore. And I definitely don't date the girls that do. And we become a little proud. And all of a sudden, we begin to look down on the people that are acting and behaving the way we used to. We become judgmental. We begin to judge the lifestyle of someone that is walking the same path that we used to walk. Jesus said that we should hunger and thirst for righteousness, but not self-righteousness. We should possess a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. If you missed that last week, please go back and listen to that. Now we're at the next stage of this process, the process of becoming more like Jesus. Well, the next step is mercy. Now, this ties in a great deal with what we talked about last week. It's sort of like a continuation of the righteousness that Jesus was talking about. When Jesus talks about righteousness in verse 6, it's kind of like he's showing us on the outside what the house looks like. He's giving us a picture of the exterior of the house. But in verse 7, when he talks about mercy, it's like he's saying, come on now, we're going to go inside. I want to show you we're going to go a little deeper, and I want to show you what this looks like practically. So this is where we're at. You'll see how this ties together in a moment. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The title of this message is going to seem a little bit odd to you at first, but it's going to make sense here in a moment. I'm titling this message today, Grab the Wheelchair. May 16th, 1988, a 15-year-old young man by the name of Christopher Searcy was playing basketball with his friends in a Chicago neighborhood when a group of gang members drove by and unloaded a gun on them. Christopher was struck and immediately fell to the ground as the car sped off. His friends, in a panic, lifted him the best they could, and they carried him to within 35 feet of the entrance to Ravenswood Hospital. They put him on the ground, they ran inside, and they asked the hospital for help. If you remember this story, you'll remember that the hospital staff refused to help Christopher, saying that it was against the hospital's policies to administer aid to those that were outside of the hospital. So they chose to leave this young man a mere 35 feet from their front door outside bleeding to death. Well, after hearing of the decision of the hospital staff, a policeman runs into the hospital. He grabs a wheelchair and he takes it outside and he puts Christopher in it. He then wheeled the young man into the hospital where he was now able to receive the care from the hospital staff. Unfortunately, it was a little too late and Christopher died about an hour later. This, if you remember this case, it drew national attention. It was all over the news. The hospital was sued and forced to pay $12.5 million in damages. The word merciful here in Matthew chapter 5 is translated from the Greek word eleemon, which means compassionate or to show compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer together. Literally speaking, compassion is when we see a need, such as a suffering, an injustice, or a hurt, or whatever else it may be, and we take action to relieve that suffering. True compassion will always be followed by action. Talking about the suffering, talking about the injustice, talking about the hurt is not compassion. But unfortunately, this is where it stops with a lot of people. Compassion is followed by action. A lot of people get compassion confused with empathy. Empathy is feeling, compassion is doing. Compassion is when you see someone that is hungry and you actually feed them. Compassion is when you find the need and you fill it. It's when you find the hurt and you heal it. It's action. You've heard me say over and over again, that, and I'm going to keep saying it, that we are going to be a church of action. We are not going to be a church that sits back and grumbles about the problems that our city is facing. We're not just going to talk about it. We are going to be a church that helps to solve the biggest problems in our city. We're going to be a church of action. Back in the fall of last year, I laid out the vision that I believe that God has given this church, which I called, which you know of, as Vision 2040. It's five things I'm believing God for by the year 2040. I use the acronym FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to lay it out. If you remember, the letter F stands for Feed and Clothe the Hurting. We will plant a community food pantry and clothing closet at an off-site location, providing food and clothing at no cost to people of the community. Not only that, but we're going to provide a free meal on a daily basis to those that are hungry. Both the clothing closet and the food pantry have been launched. It's not an off-site location, it's here, but we're taking what God has given us and we're starting there. And we're serving people right now. Festival Foods has jumped on board and they've already given us $4,000 in credit for food. We're now getting large quarterly donations from Festival. The clothing closet has grown from one simple bag of clothes in June of last year to two rooms full of clothes now. No strings attached. Just to bless people. God is bringing that vision to pass before our very eyes. We're not just talking about it. We are moving forward with action. The letter A stands for Answer the Cry of Our City. I said we will aggressively attack the cry of hopelessness in our city due to alcoholism and other life-damaging addictions. This is going to be accomplished by strategically going after the children and youth of our community through the bus ministry and other outreach events, training them while we're young. Someone once said that it's easier to train a child than it is to fix a man. So last year we got a couple of buses and we started running them in September on Wednesday nights. With both buses combined, we are now bringing in between 80 and 100 kids into the house of God every week. And one of these days, I'm going to have more kids on my bus than Lynn has on hers. One of these days. She beats me every week. I even pray that God will allow me to beat her. And God just doesn't, her prayers must be a little bit more effective. I don't know. Pray for me, will you? One of these days. I'm going to beat her. And when I do beat her, every one of you guys are going to know about it because I'm going to announce it from right up here. I'm messing around. Not only that, but we have an amazing team that serves faithfully in the kitchen every Wednesday night. They serve a meal right now to everyone that comes in. A lot of stress comes with that. It's tough work, but they're here week in and week out serving so faithfully. I want to thank those of you that serve in the kitchen so faithfully every week. I believe that when you get to heaven, you're going to walk into that mansion and there's going to be a golden ladle hanging on the wall just for you. You know what I'm talking about because of all the soup you serve. Amen. With that being said, my heart's breaking though. We have several kids that can't come on Wednesday nights because we can't pick them up. So you see, they're too far out. We don't have the space on our buses. We don't have the time. We don't have the manpower right now, but the need is there. My goal this summer is to add, you've heard me say this, is to add two more buses, doubling our impact going into this fall, into this September. We have one bus paid for already. It's been a miracle, but we're starting to see God, what we're starting to see God do in the lives of these children is nothing short of a miracle. It's remarkable. Kids that we've had a lot of trouble with are starting to change, and the leaders are starting to see it. It's because we're planting the seed of the Word of God in them, and God tells us that His Word will never return empty, but it will accomplish everything that it was sent to accomplish. That's Isaiah 55:11. You see, when we add these buses, we're going to need the drivers. We're going to need the captains. We're going to need the kitchen workers. We're going to need those that can help with the crowd control and the kids' services and in the youth services. The letter I stands for invest in the kingdom. By the year 2040, I'm believing that we're going to eliminate completely the debt of this church, and we're going to help eliminate the debt of our people through programs like Financial Peace University. We will be a people that will commit to sacrifice now so that future generations will not be held in slavery to debt. Imagine you, year 2040, everything is debt-free. Imagine the impact that this church will have on this city and the kingdom of God. We took our very first Vision 2040 offering, and you guys really responded. We have two individuals in the church that stood up and said that they would donate the very first $40,000 as a match if we as a church can raise the other $40,000, and we are well on our way. So if you want to give towards Vision 2040, just mark that. Every dollar you give is doubled towards that. If you give five, it turns into 10. If you give 50, it turns into 100, and so forth. That's another miracle. The letter T stands for train leaders. We're going to train new leaders with the intent of expanding into new territory via multi-site church plants. This is going to be accomplished by planting a ministry college right here on campus where students will have the opportunity to earn their college degree and at the same time receive real-life ministry training. You can't teach that in school. Right here. When I first shared this part of the vision, one of the members, you might remember me saying this, of this church emailed me that told me years ago, she would walk this parking lot of the church. She'd be praying for this church, walking the parking lot. And as she did years ago, God placed a vision on her heart of a college right here on this campus. She said she mentioned it. It lit her soul up so much. She mentioned it to other pastors that we've had over the years, but they didn't see it happening, in part due to the massive debt that we carried. They thought it was a good idea, but the timing just wasn't right. She said, I never stopped praying for this, asking God to fill this place full of students to be trained for missions work, both here in our city and abroad, all over the world. Isn't it amazing that what God spoke to me in the fall of 2018, He had already revealed years ago to a faithful attendee of this church? She came to me one day and said, Pastor, I'm praying that God would give us the apartment complex across the street from the church to house these students. I said, yes! That's the kind of vision we need. That's the kind of vision we need. It's for people to believe God for the impossible. It looks impossible, but anything is possible with God. Be praying still. We need a director to launch this thing. And last, the H stands for heal the broken. We talked about planning the Green Bay Dream Center. I just talked about this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. It's the church that never sleeps. It's a resource to heal the broken and allow them to dream once again. Just like with the college, be praying for a director to lead that. And we believe that when the timing is right, God will open that door. So compassion is shown through action, and that is exactly what we are doing. It's hard work. I'll be the first one to tell you that after Wednesday nights, I'm pretty tired. But I know that there is always a price to pay to get people well. And I have to ask myself the question personally, do I care enough to sacrifice for other people? You see, the truth is I know that I'm going to heaven. I know it. One day God will call me away from this earth and I will be in the arms of Jesus. But many of these people right outside of our front doors are not. They can't say the same. We have people dying right outside our front doors. It's messy, it's hard, it's tiresome. Sometimes you come and you don't feel like you're making a difference. And that's the way I feel sometimes, and I'm the pastor. But I know I can't quit. I know I have to be willing every Wednesday night to get behind the wheel of that bus. Because if I quit, there will be people that spend eternity away from God. The price is too high. These five things that I just mentioned to you for Vision 2040, they will not come easy. Because when you take action and try to rescue people from bondage, there will be a spiritual fight. There are budgets that have to be raised. There are sleepless nights. There are problems. There will be people that you try to help that will take advantage of you. But through it all, we have to continue to be people of action. You see, it would be so much easier for me. It would be so much easier for us to just step back and accept the status quo. For us Christians, just to join together every week. We sing a few songs, we hear a pretty little message, and then we go on our way. It would be so much easier to sit back and just talk about the problems. It would be easier for us to say, look at that. There's a young man dying 35 feet outside our front door. I sure hope somebody helps him. But that's not going to be this church. We're going to be like the policeman. We're going to grab the wheelchair. We're going to get our hands dirty. Somebody has to grab the wheelchair. Somebody has to stand up and say, here I am, God, send me. And that's going to be us. We're going to go after the people of this city that nobody else is going after. We're going to go after the people of this city that nobody else wants. Why? Because they are important to God. These people are dying spiritually, and somebody has to care enough to grab the wheelchair. Mercy, compassion. Blessed are the merciful. Happy are the merciful. Happy are those who are compassionate, for they will be shown compassion. Now look at this, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he seen a man named Matthew, not me, just make that clear. I'm not that old, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Matthew, before he followed Jesus, was a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated by the people. They were thieves. They stole money. Nonetheless, Jesus walks up to Matthew and tells him to follow him. Follow me. Just as you are, leave and come with me. Now notice he didn't make an offer to Matthew to be his disciple as soon as he cleaned up his life. He didn't say, Matthew, I'm going to give you 10 days to get your life right, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to see how you're doing, and if you're doing good, you're going to be worthy to be my disciple. None of that. Jesus looks at him and says, follow me. Not only that, but if you read, here's what's interesting. If you read Mark's account of this story, you're going to see that they're, when this happens, that they're actually by a lake. Jesus had just arrived at Capernaum, and they were by the Sea of Galilee. There is archaeological evidence that the fish taken from the Sea of Galilee were taxed. So the location of this tax booth would suggest that the taxes collected here were more than likely from the fish, fruit, and other produce that made up the imports and exports of Capernaum. Some of the disciples of Jesus were fishermen. They fished this very lake. So Jesus took a man to be his disciple that very well could have been the tax man that ripped off his disciples. Imagine that. Jesus knows that. But none of that stopped him from looking Matthew in the eye and saying, follow me. In essence, he was looking at him and he was saying, Matthew, I accept you just as you are. And nothing's changed. God looks at each and every one of us and he says, I accept you just the way you are. But God, I've done this, I accept you. God, I've done this, I accept you. Verse 10, later Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Matthew begins to follow Jesus and invites Jesus and his disciples over to his home for dinner. Jesus accepts the invitation, and when he arrives, he notices that the home is filled with other tax collectors and disreputable sinners. The word disreputable is defined as a lack of good reputation or a state of being held in low esteem. So this is a person that is looked down upon. Verse 11. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" You remember last week, Jesus said that our righteousness should exceed that of the Pharisees? This is a perfect example of that. The religious people, the Pharisees, took a glance inside of that home, and they seen a group of people with a different lifestyle than they were living. They referred to them as scum, which means worthless. What they were saying is this: I can't believe Jesus is hanging out with such worthless people. We are so much better than they are. Jesus should be spending his time with us, but instead, he's wasting his time with those people. Just a word of advice. If you catch yourself, time for a little ouch moment, if you catch yourself referring to a certain person or a certain people group as those people, you may want to examine your heart, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's usually a sign of a judgmental spirit. So just forewarn you on that. We have to be careful we do not become like the Pharisees. We have to be careful that we do not look down on others that are different than us. We have to be careful that we don't cast judgment on others based on how they look or how they dress. Every person is precious to God. God does not make mistakes. I want every unsaved person in this city to know that they belong here. I want them to know that we won't judge them for how they look or for what they've done. I want them to know that we will be the ones that will grab the wheelchair and head out in the street and rescue them. I want them to know that we will love them and we will stand with them through the difficult times. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they look like. I don't care the bondage that they're carrying or where they're at in life. They belong here just like you belong here. So Jesus overhears this conversation between the Pharisees and the disciples, and he decides to speak up. Oh joy, verse 12. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show," here it is, "mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have called to come those, I have called not to those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." This response shows the heart of God. Period. He wants us to show mercy. He wants us to show compassion. He's telling them to not even bother sacrificing to God if you're not willing to show compassion. What a statement. Jesus is saying, don't even bother if you're not willing to grab the wheelchair and go 35 feet to rescue those that are dying. Jesus did not commission the church to be a waiting room for the saints. He commissioned the church to be a hospital for the hurting. You see, in this process that we have been talking about over the last several weeks, it's easy for us as believers to become inward focused. Rather than a church being a hospital for the spiritually sick and going after the unsaved, if we're not careful, it becomes a place that is supposed to take care of my needs. And that's completely opposite of what Jesus taught. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those that show compassion, for we will be shown compassion. So here's the million-dollar question. How are we shown compassion? Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. The second part here is what I want to focus on. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Jesus said it's better to give than it is to receive. You see, I get more joy when I give a gift than when I receive a gift, and I think many of you would probably say the same thing. Years ago, there was a Time magazine article that discussed a study done on the brain using fMRI technology. What they found is that when we give of ourselves to others, when we serve others, it activates the same parts of the brain that are stimulated by pleasure. The article went on to say, listen to this, this is Time Magazine. The article went on to say that helping others could very well be the secret to living a life of true happiness. There it is. Time Magazine. We will receive mercy. Sometimes we can get so comfortable going through the motions of life that we fail to show mercy and completely miss the blessing that God promises to us. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." Let's be the church that does not forget about those in our city that are spiritually dying. Let's be the church that grabs the wheelchair. I'm going to give you a chance to grab the wheelchair this morning. Compassion equals action. Remember, we're not just going to talk about it, we're going to do it. Right now, we're going to be taking a short break on Wednesday nights for the summer. Things get busy, schedules get busy, kids get out of school and they leave. We're going to start back up in the fall. First Wednesday night in September. Wednesday night's going to be our outreach night. We're going to go after them and we're going to go after them hard. It's the night that we go into the highways and the byways and we compel them to come in so that our Father's house may be filled, as Jesus said. Here's our strategy. We've made some changes going into next year. We're going to run September through Christmas. So we're going to run 4 months, September through the great toy giveaway, which happens the week before Christmas. So 4 months. We're going to break again for the months of January and February. We're going to come back March and hit it again until June, until school lets out middle of June. So basically, we're going to go 4 months on, 2 months off. This winter drove me crazy because we had to cancel half the services anyway in January and February. So this will give us a little bit of a regroup time. 4 months on, 2 months off. So this is what I need from you. We're planning on purchasing and running 2 more buses in September for a total of 4. If we do not have the bus drivers, if we do not have the bus captains, if we don't have the leaders, those things will sit in the parking lot. I need people that will grab a wheelchair and drive a bus. And driving a bus on a weekly basis, if you can't do that and you can be a backup, backups are just as important because sometimes people get sick and so forth and so on, and we need to keep those buses on the road. I need people that will grab a wheelchair and volunteer to be a captain on a bus, keep the kids in line. I need people serving in the lobby, playing games with the kids, playing checkers with the kids. I need people in the kitchen serving, doing the dishes, etc. I need people helping with crowd control in the kids' service and the youth service. I need people hanging clothes in the clothing closet, bagging groceries in the food pantry. I need people out visiting kids on the bus routes. Many people are intimidated to visit kids on the bus routes. It's so easy. This is what it looks like. I get out of my car, I walk up to the door, I knock on the door. Mom or dad answers the door. "Hey, how you doing? I'm Pastor Matt from Green Bay First. I'm on the Jesus bus here. I just want to stop by and see if little Johnny's coming to church this Wednesday. Got a flyer in my hand. It's popsicle night. We'd love to have him. Is he going to be there? Oh, great. We'll see you then. I don't want to take too much of your time yet. We'll see you on Wednesday." And I'm out of there. Next house. Simple. Simple. But it seems like most people are scared to do that. It's not cold knocking on doors, inviting people. This is just people we already have connects with. We're just out blessing them. Out talking to them. I need people that are willing to grab the wheelchair. You're not too young. You're not too old. Please don't use that as an excuse. We have something for anybody. Anybody can hang a shirt on a hanger. Anybody can put a can of soup in a bag, in a grocery bag. Anybody can play a game with a kid. Anybody can knock on a door. We need to throw our excuses off to the side, grab our wheelchairs, and get to the street. So here's what I'm asking the people of this church to do. I'm asking you to commit to serve others for 4 months. That's it, 4 months. It equals 15 times. 15 services on Wednesday nights. Maybe you work on Wednesday nights. You can come in on Tuesday morning and hang clothes on a hanger, bag some groceries. You can go out on a Saturday with Lynn and knock on doors if you work on Wednesday night. There's other things that you can do. We have all kinds of opportunities available. It's not just on Wednesday night. Lynn would love to have the help and say, "I can't do Saturday either." We've gone out and we've knocked on doors on Tuesday nights. There is no right or wrong night to do it. You just go out and knock on kids and see if they're coming to church. Keep that connection with them. Get in their world. So when you came in this morning, hopefully you received a card that looked like this. If you did not, We're going to have them out on the hub as well. This is a outreach serve card. This is what I need you to do. I need you to fill this out. When you leave here today, we're going to have some ushers at the doors with buckets. When you leave here today, I want you to fill this out, and I want you to mark any place on here that has interest for you. Kids, nursery, pre-K, elementary, youth, kitchen, security. We need people here keeping the security, because as we grow and we get bigger, that'll become more of a need. Lobby, atmosphere, games, just hanging out with the kids in the lobby and playing games. Man, when that's done, service starts, you can take off. I mean, you're here 45 minutes maybe. It's super easy. Janitorial cleanup. We have all kinds of things that need help cleaning up after service and so forth. Bus driver, bus captain. That's my biggest need right now. I need bus drivers and captains, and I need to know now so I can get you trained. I can help you get your CDL. We'll take care of all that stuff. Clothing closet, food pantry, home visitation, or just anywhere needed. If you guys would just mark anywhere needed, every one of you, and hand those out, that'll be just such a blessing to me. We'll just start. I'm messing with you. There's some of you in here say, man, I could help serve in the kitchen, but I just don't want to be around a bunch of kids. I get that. I don't want you around a bunch of kids either if you don't want to be around a bunch of kids. So please fill that out. Mark on there what your interest is. Our team will begin to contact you, because this doesn't start till September. So we've got literally 3 months here to bring you in for training, different things like that. You're only committing for 4 months. This isn't a lifetime commitment, 4 months. Say, Pastor, I'll give you September through December, and that's it. 15 services, that's all I'm asking for. Amen. So take it out, take that card out, fill it out. When you leave here, drop it in the bucket. It's not going to start till September. I mentioned that. Let's change our city. Let's change Green Bay. What do you say, church? Let's grab the wheelchair and get out to the streets and make a difference.